reminding us how great our Lord and Savior is, and that he is to have preeminence over everything. And by the way, that means he's to have preeminence over your life and my life. Amen. And he's to have first place. And if he doesn't have first place, let me tell you what, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And that's what Colossians tells us, that it's in him all things dwell. And we thank God for that this day. I have a question I want to ask you this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? That's the question of the hour, I believe, because the closer we come to the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, every one of us need to be ready. Amen? If you're not ready, I pray today you will be ready for the end of this service. Or if you're not ready by the end of the service, you'll make things right. Hypothetically, because no one knows the hour or the day that the Lord may come, only the Father. I'm glad about that, amen? Because you see all these books come out, 70 reasons Christ is going to return, or 50 reasons. But I want you to know something, that I believe his return is closer than ever before. That's the reason we must be ready. But hypothetically, if you knew without a doubt that next Sunday, high noon, the Lord would return to take his children home, to rapture out the church, what would you do? What would you do? Well, I think today what I think some people would probably do, if they were smart, they would quit putting off the decision of accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? They wouldn't say, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next week, or I'll do it next month. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. For some people, you know what? I think some of us would probably go talk to that loved one, that family member, that person we work with that we know is lost, and we would make sure that one more time we could share with them the gospel if we knew Christ was coming again. Some of us would be in this altar this morning because we want to make sure we're ready, our hearts are right, our house is in order, that we've dealt with every sin in our life, that we're walking close to God. I believe some of us would be in this altar this morning. Say, God, I want to be ready for your coming. I want to be ready for your coming more than ever before. Now, the church at Thessalonica had sent word to the Apostle Paul, and they were concerned about those who had died in the Lord. And they sent word to him, and he writes back to the church at Thessalonica concerning the coming of the Lord. If you have a copy of the scripture this morning, I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As a pastor, on numerous occasions, I've stood in a cemetery by a casket and gave some final words. I don't spend long at the cemetery because we've had time at the church to celebrate their life and celebrate the Lord they love. But this is the passage that I usually share from, especially if I know this person is a true believer, because let me tell you what, I've got good news this morning. There's life after this life. Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, And 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. By the way, we don't have only hope in this life. We believe and there's a life to follow this life. Every one of us in this place will spend eternity in one of two places. We'll either spend eternity in heaven, where we'll get to see Jesus face to face, or we'll spend eternity in hell. You said, well, how can a loving God send someone to hell, Pastor? Well, let me tell you what, it's their choice. Because the unpardonable sin is refusing the work of the Holy Spirit, and his work is Christocentric, to point people to Jesus. So if you say no to the Holy Spirit, and you're saying no to Jesus, and you are sealing your fate. There's going to be a day, just like in the day of Noah, that the door will be shut. Can you imagine what those people felt like when the water started coming down from the sky? When it got up to their ankles, then their knees, to their waist. Imagine a lot of them were running over that giant boat. Let us in. Let us in. But see, Noah didn't shut the door. God did. And there's going to be a door shut one day, the door of opportunity, for you who have heard the gospel, who have received that gospel, and you've heard the truth of the gospel, that day will come. But the Apostle Paul, as he writes back to the church at Thessalonica, beginning in verse 13, gives us these words. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So first of all, I want you to understand, Paul's writing back to them, he says, listen, I don't want you to be uninformed, is the idea of that word. I want you to know full well concerning the coming of the Lord. I don't want you to say maybe or maybe not. I want you to know full well. I don't want you to be uninformed, but I don't know why I want you to be uninformed. I want you to know concerning them which are asleep. By the way, those who are those who have died in the Lord. Now, we believe and teach that when one person dies, their spirit, their soul, who they are, they go immediately to be in the presence of God. That's the reason 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? I don't know about you. I think some of y'all ought to be more excited about that. I don't know about you. Whenever, God, I leave this body behind, this body that has all the problems, I'm looking forward to getting a new body like that of Jesus. And I'm looking forward to that day when I get to see my Savior face to face. But see, he says that those who have fallen asleep in the Lord, and then he says that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. May I tell you, the hope of the church is a blessed hope. You remember, as the Apostle Paul wrote in Titus 2:13, he says, we're looking forward to that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our blessed hope. Now, is it a blessed hope? May I tell you, it's a comforting hope. At the end of this passage in verse 18, he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a comforting hope. But may I tell you also, it's a purifying hope. 1 John chapter 3 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And it says in verse 3, and everyone who has this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now I tell you what the hope is wrapped up in. According to 1 Peter 1:3, we have a blessed hope, a glorious hope that's wrapped up in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. See, if he had stayed in the grave, we'd have no hope, folks. If he stayed in the grave, we'd have nothing to preach about. If he stayed in the grave, we'd still be in our sin. If he stayed in the grave, we would still be without Christ and without hope. But praise God, we have a resurrected Savior. He rose victorious over sin and death and hell. And because of that, we have hope today. You and I ought to be rejoicing in that hope. See, I want us to understand today that people get things mixed up because we believe in the rapture of the church. That's what this passage is talking about. Let's go on down. Let's read the rest of this, then we're going to take it apart. Verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. In other words, those who sleep in Jesus, those are died in the Lord, or with the Lord already. For this we say unto you, Paul says, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Why? Because the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, comfort one another with these words. Are you ready? The Bible says you better be ready. Because see, you're not saved because your parents were saved, or you're born in a Christian home. Every one of us make a decision of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We got to come to the point in our life we realize we're a sinner without Christ, that we're lost, that our sin has separated us from God, and we understand our only hope is Jesus Christ. When we understand that, we'll understand that we must be ready. See, there's a difference between the rapture of the church and the revelation or the second coming of the Lord. Okay, you say, what's the difference, Pastor? Well, we believe and teach, I believe we're living in the last days. We're living in the last church age. The church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, it said that church, he says, I wish that you were hot nor cold. He says, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And at the end of that, in Revelation 3, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here's the deal. The Lord's outside the door of the church saying, hey, I want to come in. He's on the outside of our life saying, I want to have fellowship with you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. But in the world we live in today, we have pushed Jesus out. There's many churches that don't even believe there's a Jesus. There's many that don't preach the truth of the God's word. They don't stand on the word of God today. But I tell you this morning, we got to stand on the word of God, and we got to know that that rapture is that blessed hope that the Bible speaks about, and that revelation is the glorious appearing. What's the difference? Well, in the rapture, Christ comes in the air for his own. In the revelation, Christ comes with his own to earth to win a battle of Armageddon and stand up his 1,000-year reign here on this earth. In the rapture, all Christians will be raptured. And by the way, let me tell you something. I want you to hear this day. God isn't going to look on the rolls of churches. He's not going to say, well, you're a member of Lane Prairie Baptist Church. Welcome into heaven. Or you're the member of this Methodist Church or this Assembly of God or this Church of Christ, or this Catholic Church. I'm going to tell you what the deal is. Here it is. Your name has got to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's what God's going to go by. Those are the ones that are going to, he's going to call out. He's going to rapture. He's going to bring out of this world. So we got to understand that that's the difference. The Christians will be taken to the Father's house. In the revelation, resurrected saints do not see the Father's house. In the rapture, there's no judgment in their own. There's no judgment on earth, but in the Revelation, Christ judges inhabitants of the earth. In the rapture, the church is taken to heaven. And in the Revelation, Christ sets up his kingdom on earth. In the rapture, it is imminent. It could come at any moment. The second coming, we believe and teach, there is the rapture of the church. Then there is the 7-year period of time called the tribulation. It's divided up into 2 3-and-a-half periods of time. The tribulation and the great tribulation that takes place here on this earth. And catch this, after that, then Christ comes with his saints in the revelation, and he wins the battle ultimately over Satan. Satan will be thrown into the abyss, into the lake of fire to burn forever and ever. By the way, Satan knows he's a defeated foe, but he's loose for a season. In the rapture, you and I will stand before the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll be given account according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 of that which we have done, whether we've done things in the flesh or whether we've done things in the spirit. The things done in the flesh, wood, hay, or stubble are going to burn up. The things that are done in the spirit, gold, silver, and precious stone, are going to stand the test of the fire. But it says, but you will be saved. In other words, praise God, we're going to be still saved. Maybe we did things on our own. We did it on our own, but I'm going to tell you one day, praise God, our Lord and Savior is going to come again. He's going to take us out of this world, and we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. Now, how do we know? What are the proofs? Y'all, excuse me. I had treatment this week, and I'm very dry. What are the proofs of the rapture of the coming of the Lord? How do we know that he's coming? Well, let me tell you what. Jesus said he was coming again. I don't know about you, that's good enough for me. Remember in John chapter 14, he's trying to comfort his disciples before he goes to the cross and dies, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, catch this, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord promised that he would come again. Acts chapter 1, whenever Jesus ascends up into heaven, at that time he ascends into heaven, there were two men in white apparel, angels. And what did they say? They said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the same Jesus that was born of the Virgin Mary, the same Jesus that lived a virtuous, sinless life, the same Jesus that died a vicarious death, he died in our place. He took our sin upon him. That same Jesus had a victorious resurrection. The same Jesus is going to so come in like manner as you've seen him going to heaven. The angels announced it. The scriptures verify it. It was the center of Paul's eschatology. In fact, here in 1 Thessalonians, you're going to see in every single chapter, it talks about that. Look at chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. By the way, you know what that tells me? I want you to hear this day. I do not believe the Christians will be here during the tribulation. I don't know about you, I'm glad about that. We're not going to have to be through those seven seals, those seven bowls of wrath. We're not going to have to face all that stuff. Praise God, he's going to deliver us from that. He's going to deliver us from that time of the wrath to come. And then in chapter 2, look at verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. And then look at chapter 3, verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable, holy, in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. Let me tell you what, there's going to be a day, catch this, that Christ is going to come again. He's going to come for his church. He's not going to look again at the church rolls, but we have proofs of the resurrection. The scripture bears it out. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for the trump shall sound, and we shall be changed. This corruptible body one day, praise God, is going to put on incorruption. And this mortal body, praise God, is going to put on immortality. And that's the reason he said to there at the church in Corinth, he says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory, folks. You and I are not going to go through the tribulation. So how do you know that, Brother Jerry? Well, the church will be in the air with Jesus. Aren't you glad? Notice what our text says. It says, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Isn't that interesting, that idea right there? You remember what the devil's called? He's called the prince and power of the air. But I want to tell you, there's going to be a day when Jesus says, let me tell you what, devil, all he's got to do is thump him. You're no longer the prince of power there. I am. I'm in charge. The Lord is in charge. The church promised deliverance. There in that passage I read to you earlier in Revelation 3, whenever he's talking to the church at Philadelphia. You remember what he said to them? Listen to it. Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I shall also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The Lord says, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to deliver you from that day of trial, from that day of temptation. The church is not appointed unto wrath, praise God, but we're appointed unto the Lord coming and taking us home. Listen, because the Holy Spirit is removed before the tribulation can come. Let me tell you what, when we're removed, guess what? The Holy Spirit is going to remove. And can you imagine what this world's going to be like without the restrainer? Boy, if the Holy Spirit wasn't restraining right now, where would we be, church? We'd be in a mess. The church is not mentioned from Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 19. You will not see the church mentioned one single time. And those are the chapters that deal with the tribulation. We will not be here during the tribulation time, thank God. The church is to watch for the imminent return of the Lord. And by the way, let me tell you what. I said, hypothetically, next Sunday at noon, what would we do? Let me tell you what, he could come tonight. He could come before this service is over. And we better be ready. Are you ready? Have you made your reservation? Have you settled in your heart who Jesus is? Is he Lord of your life? We must be ready. And then I want you to see now the proofs of the resurrection. May I show you also the pillars of the resurrection. Go back to our text, if I may. Notice what he says here in verse 14. What are the pillars of the rapture? It's based on three unshakable facts. First of all, the death of Christ. Notice what it says. For since we believe that Jesus died, may I tell you this morning, Jesus died for us. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know this verse, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We must understand, because he died for for us, he will come and take us home to be with him. But not only does it involve the death of Christ, it involves the resurrection. Notice what it says there in verse 14. Since we believe that Jesus died and what? Rose again. Don't miss that. See, we must understand that we have a resurrected Lord. We're going to celebrate that in about 3 Sundays. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that. But may I tell you something? Listen to me today, church. You've heard me say this before. Every day is resurrection day for a believer. Every day we wake up and say, thank you, God. Jesus had victory over death, and because he had victory over death, I too will have victory over death. I too can have victory over Satan. I too can have victory over sin. I too can have victory over any circumstance because I have the resurrected Lord living in me. And as Paul prayed for the church, he says, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to every single believer here today. Do you believe that? Some of you, I don't know, you need to have a little bit of that resurrection power this morning. I'm going to build a church one of these days that has, underneath the seats, that has electronic advice. And some of you that are sitting there like a bump on the log, I'm going to hit the button on that seat right there and it's going to punch you up. I have this wonderful idea. Also, we're going to have one day a hot and cold section of church. Because I always have people say, it's too cold in here, Brother Jerry. It's just too hot in here, Brother Jerry. Also, we're going to put a design together that when people come in, there's just seats in the back. And when they fill them, all of a sudden, those seats pop up and they come all the way to the front. And another set of pews set up in the back. I have it planned, folks. Maybe not in this life, but in the life to come. I kind of think that whenever you get to heaven, you're not going to want to be on the back row. I don't know about you. I want to be as close to Jesus as I can be. Amen? But not only do we have the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ as pillars, the third is the revelation of Christ. Notice what he says here, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. In other words, Paul said, this is not my word. These are what God revealed to me. This is the revelation, the apocalypse. This is the unveiling that he has shown me that Christ is coming again. But he is coming. We will not prevent those which are asleep. In other words, praise God for those who are asleep. They're going to be resurrected. Now, I want to tell you today, you're not going to need that old body anymore. There's not going to be much there anyway, amen? We're going to get a new body like that of Jesus. Be good in every way. So we see the proofs, we see the pillars, we see the hope. But let's look at the next thing, the plan of the rapture. Look at what he says here. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Now, I've got good news this morning. He isn't going to send an angel. He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send an apostle. He's not going to send a New Testament saint. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. No angel, no prophet, no patriarch, no New Testament believer is going to come to take us home. Jesus himself will come to take us home. I love what one guy said one time. You know what? They said, well, when is he coming? We don't know. But you know what I figured out? I'm not on the scheduling committee. I'm on the welcoming committee. I need to be the one that says, like the Apostle John, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Come on, Lord, I'm ready. And every one of us ought to say, I'm ready today. I'm ready for his coming. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. Then notice the second thing. He's going to come with a shout. You say, what is he going to shout, Brother Jerry? Well, I've had a lot of preachers preach about that. All I know is this. I know that the Bible says in John 10:27, it's Jesus is talking. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of the Father's hand. Now, what I believe is every one of us who are called by the name of Christ will hear his voice. Amen? Now, I don't know what he's going to shout. I know when he went over there to Lazarus' grave, you remember they said, he said, move away the stone from the, he'd been dead 4 days. His sister said, he stinketh, Lord. Been dead 4 days. Jesus said, move the stone away. Now, by the way, he didn't need the stone moved away to get him out of there. Just like the stone didn't need to be moved away to get Jesus resurrected from the grave, by the way. I want to make that clear. He didn't need the stone rolled away. The stone needed to be rolled away so they could go in there and see he wasn't there anymore. That the angel could announce, he is not here, he is risen. But he goes over there to Lazarus' grave and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And by the way, I'm convinced if he had said, come forth, I believe every dead believer in that whole mountainside would have been resurrected. He called him by name, but I want you to know, he knows your name. And one day when he calls you, he will come with a shout, and we'll hear that shout, and we'll say, here I come, Lord. I'm going to catch that chain right up to be with you forever and ever. He's going to come with a shout, and then notice it's with the voice of an archangel. What a beautiful voice we'll hear. The archangel, Michael. Boy, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to hearing that. And then it comes, notice it says, with the trump of God. Now, you got to understand, the trumpet was used in Old Testament time for deliverance. Whenever God's people were delivered, they blew the trumpet. When God's people were rallied together, they would blow the trumpet to bring a rally together. Now, I tell you, one day Jesus is going to come with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. Remember, I shared with you earlier about 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound. We're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. And that trumpet sound is to gather his children there in the air to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. And the Bible says, so we will ever be with the Lord. But notice what else it says. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, I tell you what, I don't know whether I want to be dead or alive in that time. If they're going first, I kind of want to be first. Amen. Doesn't matter. We're going to still get there. Don't worry. But the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Do you see that? It says we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I tell you what, that's God's plan. He says, I'm gonna take you out of this. And by the way, why is he going to take us out of this? He's going to take us out of this because he's going to give us a new body. The Bible says in heaven we'll be known as we're known. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that. May I tell you this morning, heaven is a real place. It's not a state of mind. It's a prepared place. According to John 14, Jesus has prepared a place for us. It's a pure place because we're declared righteous in Jesus in that place. It is a pleasant place. Why? Because Jesus will be there. In Revelation 5, he is the Lamb who sits on the throne. You'll see that word Lamb used over and over in the book of Revelation. In heaven, we'll have full understanding. Do you realize that? Now follow me here. You're not going to have any questions for God in heaven. Say, why not? I mean, I've been making a list here, Brother Jerry. Surely God has all the time to answer everybody's questions in heaven. Well, I'm going to tell you, we're not going to have time for that stuff. Because we're going to be around the throne worshiping the Lamb. We're going to be worshiping the one who's worthy of all of our praise. Read about it in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. But listen to me. I believe when we get to heaven, we'll have perfect understanding. All of your life will be flashed before you, and God will reveal to you every purpose and plan he had every step of the way. Won't that be good? 13 years ago, today, but what? 14 years ago today, we lost twins. Our son and daughter-in-law were expecting twins, Mike and Renee. The church was excited. We were excited. But in the pregnancy, we learned that one of the twins was they said that one twin ain't gonna make it. What they wanted us to do is they wanted us to abort one of the babies. My son and daughter-in-law said, no way. And we agreed with them. And many of you were up at the hospital that day with us. They're Baylor. And when they came forth, the one was badly deformed, didn't take a breath, but the one lived about 10 minutes or so. But we went out here at the cemetery, Union Hill, probably the hardest funeral I've ever done was to stand over that little casket with two baby girls, Elizabeth and Sarah, and preach that service. But I fully knew, and I said that day, that praise God, one day I'm going to get to see Elizabeth and Sarah again. And I'm going to get to hold them, because God's going to make them new. And I don't know about you, I have some loved ones on the other side. And one day, because I placed my faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation, I will see them again. The Bible says we'll be known as we're known. It is a pleasant place. It is a place of relief. May I tell you, in heaven, there'll be no more crying, no more sighing, and no more dying. In heaven, there'll be no hospitals. There'll be no graves. Satan will be bound. There'll be no aging or wrinkles, praise God. I thought someone would say amen to that. No blindness, no deafness, no diabetes. Praise God, no cancer, no heart attacks, no scars, no divorce, no child abductions, no accidents, and praise God, no more bills or taxes. Heaven will be a refreshing place. See, in heaven, there'll be never another fear. There'll be never another trial or trouble or shortage or pain. Are you ready? Are you ready? The last thing I want to give to you today is the preparation for the rapture. How do we prepare? Well, the first and foremost thing I want to tell you today, I want you to hear this very carefully. You got to be saved and know it. I'm not talking about do you know him here. You say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Maybe as a young boy or young girl, you maybe made a decision. You walked an aisle. Maybe you were dunked underneath some water. And I'm not trying to trick you out of your salvation. Don't misunderstand me, but I want you to know what happened after that time, your life should have been changed. Because, see, if any man be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. No change, no Savior. Bears it out in Scripture. Every time someone got saved, whether it be the woman at the well who had five husbands and was living with another man, she got saved and she went back and told everybody about it. Whether it be Paul, the persecutor of the church, who became a proclaimer of the gospel, his life was changed. Listen to me. You got to be saved and know it. The Bible says, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm going to tell you something today. If you don't know without a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, you ought to be the first one down the aisle today taking a pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I want to get this settled today. I don't want to wait another Sunday. I don't want to wait another day. Today is the day of salvation. I want to be ready when he calls us home. You got to be saved and know it. Not only must you be saved and know it, we need to be responsible. Listen, God just didn't, listen to me. He didn't save you that you could just sit on a chair somewhere, on a padded chair somewhere, and just live out your Christian life. He saved you that you might serve him, that you might be faithful to his church, that you might be serving God, you might use your talents and your gifts that God's given you to glorify God. If that's not happening, you need to get down this aisle today and get on your knees and say, God, I want to rededicate my life. By the way, there is that old-fashioned term that's mentioned in the Old Testament, backslidden. If you have backslid, maybe you know the Lord, but you have backslidden, you need to get right, because if he were to come today or next Sunday at noon, you must be ready for his coming. If there's any sin, it's in your life that you haven't dealt with, you need to come to this altar right where you are. You need to deal with that sin today. If there's anyone that you're at odds with, you need to make it right. Because when the Lord comes, we want to be right. Not only with him, we want to be right with each other. How about that person? You know, when I was talking earlier, if you knew that Christ was coming next Sunday at noon, some of you thought of somebody right then that you need to go tell this week about Jesus. Right where you are, you need to make commitment. Say, Lord, I pray this week, I wouldn't put it off any longer, that I'd go talk to that brother or that sister or that uncle, that aunt, maybe mother, father, grandparents, or child that's old enough to understand they're accountable. Are you ready? Let's stand.